Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I want to share with you something you won't have heard perhaps, and it will help you. So I want to just share, before I start, just a scripture. Then we're going to look at a passage and open up a passage in the book of Acts, but in Acts chapter 16. But right now, I want to share just a verse with you in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And the people of God are in bondage, and God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. How about that? God, of course he knows his thoughts. God knows his thoughts. But here's the thoughts. They're thoughts of peace and not evil. Now people don't understand that even when our life is gripped in bondage, even when we've got difficulties, pain, failures, and everything seems distress, God is not thinking evil about us. He's thinking good. And he says, in order that you might have a future and a hope. And everyone needs to have a sense of hope and a sense of some purpose for their future. And we're designed by God. No matter how we came into the world, God has for us an assignment, something that only we can fulfill. But the trouble is we're born often in difficult circumstances and we're born separated from God. But the thing, the passion of God, the purpose of God is written in our heart. And if we connect to our heart, and if we hear the voice of God, he awakens us that he has an amazing purpose. And that purpose starts when you connect with him. And I love it that God is a God of hope. So when God is looking forward, everything is good. Everything is positive. There's an expectation for us. And this is the year of challenge, because for many people, they don't know where they've come from. They're not sure where they're going. And they're curious and want to know about the future. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 15, it says, now, right now, the God of hope. So when we connect with God, he wants your life to be filled with hope, that you can look forward and understand his purpose for you and then have a joy no matter what you're going through. I know where God is taking me. My life is in his hands. And God doesn't unravel it. We want to tell me what's going to happen. What will happen? No, no, God is not going to tell you everything about your future. He wants you to walk by faith, trusting in his character. And as you walk with him, it's like he opens the plan out. And the plan, let me tell you this, God's plan is bigger than your plan. If you'll embrace the Lord and his plan, it's a bigger plan. If I had my plan, I'd be fishing up north somewhere. That was not God's plan. I'll do that once in a while. But I used to think about that, how I could get a job up in the north in a sunny area or come to Perth or someplace like that and just retire. But no, God had a much bigger plan that involved going to nations. I found myself in the midst of riots, in the midst of attacks by witch doctors, in the midst of all kinds of things in all kinds of nations. And I love it all. And so I take my grandchildren with me, some of them. I've got them. And now one of them's up there in Taiwan learning Mandarin. She's got that same spirit of adventure. Loves that. We're made for excitement. You're not made to just settle down. You're made for the joy that God alone can bring. Amen? Okay then. So the thing is, people want to know their future. And frequently, they turn to the wrong sources. And that's what I want to talk about a bit tonight. I want to talk about familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. And help you just understand a bit about that. Very common for people now. And I'll just share just some stories. Few stories always help, and then we'll look at the Bible and just open up a few things for you. Okay, so let me share with you a couple of stories. I went to Indonesia, I was invited to Indonesia. I took my son David with me, and we asked if they would give us time to prepare a ministry team, and they did not. So the first day, we're straight in, and we've got 2,000 people, and it's just a huge crowd of people and a great atmosphere of expectation. And what I didn't know was there were three witch doctors had turned up at the meeting, and the witch doctors consult familiar spirits. The witch doctors work with sorcery, magic, putting spells on people, cursing, all that kind of thing. That's what they do. And so that what they do is they work with familiar spirits and they then will attack someone who seems to be powerful to take their power off them, which is what people do in the games which they play online. So therefore, you're repeating in your imagination what sorcerers do in practice. You're opening the door to a demon. Just an aside, just in case. Okay. And then what happened was they in the meeting, so I get up to preach, I'm into it, I'm looking this way, they're looking that way. While I'm looking that way, they stood up to do their witchcraft. And up they stood up, and as quick as they stood up, Paragod flattened them on the ground. They were down like that. Boom, down like that. And then they could not stand up. They were down. They were down. The force was with me. Ah, that down, the Holy Ghost touched them, knock them down. And then they had to crawl out of the meeting. So that they came in, you know, full of pride and people a bit intimidated by them, but they crawled out fast as they could. Try to get out of what they didn't understand was the power of God. It was not me, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit, and people, they felt it. And someone told Dave that, hey, there's someone out there is, these witch doctors have been trying to curse your dad and they're trying to get out of the house. So he ran down, I saw him get up and run away, what's going on? He ran down the back and he found one of them, confronted the demon, and out came the demon. The guy screamed and fell on the ground. Then he came up and got saved. Isn't that something? God had a future for him. God had a future for him. Isn't that awesome? I was in church one Sunday and a girl came up to me afterwards. She said, hey, I brought a friend to church with me and he's going to go to a medium this afternoon, fortune teller. I said, is that right? Bring him to me. And a guy came up and he started to talk about himself. I said, shh, don't say a word. I understand you're going to consult a fortune teller, a medium today. And he said, yes, that's right. I said, do you know there's a God who knows your life and knows where you're going and knows what's happening in your life? And he said, I didn't know that. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And I thought, I'm not going to be outdone by a fortune teller. The real deal is prophecy. And all may prophesy. So you can't be intimidated by this stuff. And so I said, God, just help me. And I prayed and the Lord gave me some things. And as I shared them, I could tell we were reading his mail. Yeah. There was things that I was saying that only he knew that were true. And anyway, I just blessed him and he went on his way and I thought he's going to go to that fortune teller. So what I did was this. So he's off, he's taking off. I thought he's going to go. Even though God has touched him, he's still going to go. He's got it set to go to the fortune teller. So I just stood in the spirit, rose up in my spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take dominion over the spirit of divination. I command confusion into everything that person says. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, next Sunday, I'm back at church and ready to preach. A guy comes up, gets saved. I think, well, they're wonderful. I said, hey, you're the guy that was here last week. He said, yeah. I said, did you go to the fortune teller? He said, I did. I said, how much did it cost? He said, $50. I said, it was a waste of money, wasn't it? He said, yes, it was. I said, why was it a waste of money? He said, because it was all confusion. I couldn't understand anything she was saying. Yeah. Come on. See, so these are, I share these, because these stories are really always interesting. I've got heaps of stories. We're only limited time. We can't tell them all. But we got to some of the church. We're doing an outreach in the community. And so we got together. I said, you know, there's a lot of people out there and they go to fortune tellers and they go to all kinds of spiritism. We should do something on one of those show days and set up a stall. And so we set up a stall and it was called Readings in the Park. Now, if you put prophecy, no one's going to come, except the Christians, and they don't need it. Well, this is about outreach. So we put it in terms of readings in the park. And so people, readings, I want a reading. And so for them, reading means someone can tell my future. And so they come in and we tell them, listen, no crystals here, no spells, no nothing like that. We just will pray, and God, who knows you, will give us some revelation concerning your life. And so they would sit down and we had always had an intercessor and then we had someone and then they would just pray in the spirit for a little bit and then God would give a prophetic word and many times people would break down and weep. The word was so close and they led many people to the Lord just through bringing the prophetic flow out to where people are. You got to learn to not be intimidated by all this stuff. We got the real deal. That's the substitute. That's the counterfeit. So never be threatened by it. And I remember I saw an advertisement teaching in school. I was a very young Christian, and I saw a little sign on, you know, these signboards, and they put signs and notices, and there's a general notice board. And there was two girls who put up a sign. They said, we're holding seances and want to invite people to come and join us. And I thought, oh, Seances in my school, that's bad. I need to do something about that. So I decided, I said, what do I do, Lord? He said, just pray. Go into your room and every day pray. And so he told me, go into my room. It's my territory. Everyone that comes there is coming into my territory. So he said, arise in your spirit, pray in tongues, and take dominion over the spirits that are on the young people when they come in. Bind them and decree peace and decree learning. So I won't share all the stories that happened, but I'll share you one. I'm standing there between spells and I'm just getting ready for the next lesson in physics. And then these two girls walked by. They said, hey, sir, what's up with your room? I said, what do you mean, what's wrong? They said, no, there's something weird about your room. And I said, what do you mean weird? And they said, well, every time we come by, we shake. I said, really? Now, I've never seen shaking before, you see. I'm really un-Christian. Seen less than you've seen. And, oh, shaking. How interesting. Come on in. Then when they got in, I realized these are the girls that were doing the advertisement. And then now they're here, they're in my room, and they're shaking. Already the enemy's bowing. And I said, oh, I said, and they were really shaking now. And they'd go, whoa, 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 like this. And I'm thinking, whoa, I've never seen that before. That's exciting. Now, I'm really, oh, Jesus, this is awesome. And so I said, oh, you girls are the two that put that sign up about calling people to a seance, aren't you? And they said, yes, we are. And I said, well, I've been praying in my room and the Spirit of God is here. Now I'm getting excited now. And the Spirit of God is here and what's inside you is reacting to the presence of an all-powerful God. And I'm in a roll. And I heard myself say this, and I can stop that shaking. And I thought, oh, now, you never even seen shaking. You know, how can you, can't stop shaking. How are you going to do that? And they said, okay, do it. I'm thinking, oh, my, oh, okay, close your eyes. And what I'm looking at me, I think, God, help. And then I just prayed, took authority, and suddenly all the shaking stopped. And we later on led them to the Lord, and we started to have a move of the Spirit in the school. It's amazing. You know, if people will pray, if people will pray, things can happen. I got lots of stories. I'll tell you one more story, and then we'll open up that passage. Because stories are good, because these are real people having encounters with God. God is real. The God we serve is not something in a box. He's a real God. And you've got to be confident and bold in what you carry. You are called to be a carrier of the presence of God. Okay, so here's another one. I had a girl, and my daughter-in-law rang me up, and she said, oh, could you come visit this girl in the psych unit? I said, what's the story? And she said, well, she attempted to commit suicide. She was about 21, perhaps 20, somewhere around about that. I said, oh, I'm sad to hear that. And said, I'll come with you. So we went there, and she came in and sat down. I said, well, you're young and beautiful, got a great future ahead of you. So why did you want to attempt to commit suicide? And she said, well, she said, I have been molested at night by some spirit beings. They come to me at night and they touch me, hold me down, and they do things, and I feel ashamed and defiled and angry, and I can't stop it because I can't even see them. And she said, and I cried out to God, I did everything, and she said, I was so depressed by what was happening, I felt I'd take my life, and I failed, so I thought I need to come here to see if I can get some help. And I said, well, let me tell you some things. First of all, I said, how long did this start? She said, when I was about 7. I said, well, let me just tell you a few things. I said, number one, you are not responsible for this happening. This is what they call a familiar spirit that's come through your family line. And I said, it's not you who started this. You happen to be part of a family, and your family has not just a natural legacy, there is a spiritual legacy. And I said, someone has violated God's law and consulted spirits in fortune telling or spiritism or witchcraft or idolatry, and they've opened the door to a spirit which now is a familiar spirit. It claims the right to your family generation after generation. And I said, so the first thing is it's a familiar spirit. Second, here's what its name is. I told her the name of the spirit. And I said, thirdly, they cannot solve your problem here. There's no counseling will resolve this. There's no medication will resolve this. This needs the power of God. And I said, if you'll just stay quiet and don't get into too much trouble here, come out at the end of the week and we'll have a couple of sessions with you and listen to your story, and then we will pray and these things will never trouble you again. And so she came out of the place, and we had an appointment with her, and we were able to pray for her, and the power of God set her free from all of the torment, the defilement, and the shame. And now she looks so beautiful. If you were to look at her in our church, you could never recognize her as someone had gone through that kind of experience, near-death experience. You would have no idea. She's a beautiful person, worships, leads. And she's just a lovely person. But you see, something had came to destroy her future. And God desires we be set free. So now these stories I've shared with you so you know that when we look into the Bible now, the stories I've shared which are in the last few years, these are the stories of what Paul encountered. So we find this in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, it happened as we went to prayer. So Paul is in the area of Philippi, a big city, a major city, quite a large city. And it was a city that was influenced by Greek mythology, and it was a city influenced by Rome. It was a place where there was cult emperor worship, the worship of the emperor, the Roman emperor, and it was also a place of divination. It was the center of it in that whole part of Europe. And so it says, it happens as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl who was possessed or held by or accompanied by or something clinging to her with a spirit of divination met us, and she brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So here it is, you have someone, we would call her a psychic. She is a person, notice she's doubly bound. She's a slave girl, so she's been, her family had probably been killed or taken slaves by the Romans, and now she is held captive as a slave girl, no rights, no freedom, and she also is got in bondage to a familiar spirit. It's called a spirit of divination or a python spirit, because it was in the form of a python that wrapped around her. The word possessed is not a good word. The word literally means something had hold of her or was joined to her or was accompanying her wherever she went. So wherever she went, there was a spirit wrapped around her, a familiar spirit. And it says the girl followed us and Paul and started crying out. Now what she's crying out is this: these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation. So she is declaring something because the spirit is giving her revelation. The spirit is revealing who Paul is. Later on, when the demons, people tried to cast out demons, they said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, who are you? And so it said, these men are servants of the Most High God. And she did this many days, and it says, Paul greatly annoyed. That word annoyed means literally to be grieved in his spirit or to struggle to press through to bring a move of the God. That's what it really means. So in other words, the atmosphere spiritually was choked by the activity of that spirit. And there was a resistance to the move of God. And so it says he was annoyed, but actually he was grieved. And the word literally means toiling hard to get the breakthrough. And so it says, Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. So he didn't counsel the girl. He didn't tell her to go home and read a Bible. He didn't go and tell her to go and get some therapy. He just spoke to the real problem, which was a demonic spirit, and commanded, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out. And it came out that very hour. And that's how it should be, not very long. And when the masters saw their hope of profit was gone, in other words, once the demon was gone, she could no longer tell people's fortunes. She could not make money for her owners. They were exploiting her. She was a slave being used to make money for the people who owned her. So this is quite an interesting story. And now you can see when you read the story, it referring to the things I've shared with you, all the things I've shared relate to the story. Stories are there to understand these are the real issues. So Philippi was known for being the center of divination, and people would come there because of a simple reason. They wanted to know their future. What is in my future? People want hope. They want to know what's in the future. So politicians would come, soldiers would come, military leaders would come, business people would come. They come to consult the fortune teller. And you say, well, that's just all nonsense, that stuff. No, the fortune teller is literally, now there are some people who've got nothing, but these people operated with a demonic spirit. And so they either went into a trance and a demon spoke through them, or the spirit around them would whisper in their ear and giving information to them. And the accurate information, accurate, because is, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, so that's what would happen. And so they're psychic. So notice now the demon is affecting Paul's ministry. It's hindering it, creating a resistant spiritual atmosphere. The whole place was filled. This was the stronghold of that region, was divination or fortune telling. So if you went in there, you would find prayer very hard. You notice it came when they're praying, to interrupt their praying, see? And so the prayer life would be very hard. It would be like there would be a thick resistance to hearing God. I've been in places like that, and it's like it closes in on you. You feel depressed and down. All joy drains out of you. Very hard to pray. And you've got to press through and to get the breakthrough. I've been in places like that, and we've had to shift the atmosphere in prayer. Okay, and it says, notice the spirit was a python. A python is a snake, and what it does is it's got hooks on it, and it'll bite people and get a hook into them. So it's got curved too. It'll hook into them. When it's got the hook into them, then it'll wrap around them and squeeze all the life out of them. So if you get attacked by a python, it's very difficult to get away, because if you run, it'll leap and then get hook into the back, then put the wrap around and choke the life out. And so very difficult to get away. The only way you can deal with a python, you've got to face it head on. Yeah. If you run, it'll just go faster than you and hook into your back. So notice there that the spirit got a hook into people and then uses it as a way of oppressing them and so on. Oppressing them, squeezing spiritual life out. You notice it's doing, it is the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Yes. This is the counterfeit, yes, of the true gift of prophecy, yeah, spirit of prophecy. Okay? That's what's happening. And so Paul didn't counsel, he just commanded the demons to come out. Now, here's something interesting, that after the girl got set free and then she could no longer earn any money because she couldn't do it anymore. She couldn't do it because the source of information had gone. So it tells you it was totally demonic. So if you've ever watched on the TV or anything, seen a psychic operating, they're listening to a demonic spirit tell them the information. They're getting it from spirit. So you know, I'll be watching that or looking at that, it opens you up. Now, interesting that when Paul confronted the demon and cast it out, there was a reaction from everyone who was making money. And so when he cast the spirit out, he's confronting what is over the region, the territory, the city, and affecting the political climate and the economic climate. And so there's a reaction. And what happened is they got angry, they dragged him out. And it's interesting what they accused him of. They accused him of racism. Isn't that something? They're Jews and we're Romans and he's messing it up for us. See, they played the race card. Man, nothing new around, is there? And second is they accused him of making trouble. He's a troublemaker. They accused him of making trouble. And then the third one they accused him of was cultural insensitivity. Well, they did. Look what it says. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men are Jews. They trouble our city. They teach customs not lawful in us, being Romans. See, it's all in there. These are Jews. We're Romans. They're messing it up for us. You see? Is it racism? And then you notice there, they're causing trouble. They're troublemakers. And then finally, they're not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. Now, they're saying they're actually insensitive to our culture and they're trying to change our culture and we're reacting to it. So they beat them all up and put them in prison, and then the Holy Ghost came. And that wrecked everything for them. And in the end, they all had to yield to them. And Paul was very, very bold. So there it is, familiar spirit. This is a woman with a familiar spirit. And this is an encounter recorded so we understand these things are real. Now, you think maybe if you go to Asia, of course, they're there everywhere in Asia. And we've constantly met people with familiar spirits all through Indonesia, in Malaysia. Yeah, Malaysia. I've got lots of stories from Malaysia. And then also in Taiwan. Lots in Taiwan. It was all over the place, but it's less now. We've been working there for a long time and it's come down, I think. And they're getting large numbers of people saved and atmosphere shifting. It's really good. But then I'll tell you another story. I remember going there, they would tell me, oh, you need to go to Taichung. And I said, Taichung, what's Taichung? He said, oh, there's a very big temple in Taichung. And they talked to me, and every time they mentioned the name, you need to go to Taichung. I said, well, what is there about that? He said, that's where the big temple is. I said, well, the big temple, yeah, really? And anyway, finally I got to go. They said, show me the big temple then. I want to know what everyone's afraid of. And I went and had a look at it and thought, what a smelly, dirty, evil place this is. And murder, killing chickens, and there's incense and all kinds of stuff going on. And I think, wow, that's what we're up against, eh? Just demons. And so we had a pastor's conference, and we had about 400 pastors there, and they were all depressed. The whole lot of them. All depressed. They were all under spiritual oppression. The conversation was how big the temple was, not how big our God is. And the Lord said to me, preach against idolatry, the worship of demonic beings. And he said, specifically, preach against Matsu. Matsu is called the Queen of Heaven. So she's known in cultures as the Queen of Heaven under different kind of names. In India, it's Kali. If you go to different places, the Queen of Heaven. This is Diana of the Ephesians. All of these are the same goddess. It's the goddess that makes men into women, women into men. Oh. Turns out it's still current. Okay. Well, it does. It destroys gender identity. And it perverts. So it promotes in the worship of that goddess. There was also the homosexuality and temple prostitution, all that kind of thing. Anyway, I preached on that. It turns out that night there was a march to Matsu. There were thousands out the street carrying this idol. And not only that, in the temple, there was there was an election of the officers to run the temple. So I got into it. I preached to all these pastors. I called them to repent of their unbelief and yielding to this demon. And we had a mighty altar call. And we had people set free. People, all these pastors, demons coming out of them. And we spoke, and I spoke against that goddess Matsu. We took dominion over it and cast down that hold over the city. Well, anyway, it turns out what happened in the temple that night, there was a fight in the temple. The meeting was shut down. Police were called. And it was a drama. It was in the papers, everything in the papers, and all these pastors got free of that oppression. And it was just great, very exciting. I love it all. I love going to Asia. It's really black and white there. It's really open what you're dealing with. I love it. So anyway, we need to get going. So what are familiar spirits? See? The word familiar spirit, now if I give you, this is really interesting. If you look at the word familiar spirit, it means connected with a family. And a familiar spirit is a higher level occult spirit that attaches to a person or a family line, then it operates through the family line from generation to generation. So once they get into a family, they study and they know all the traits of the family members. So if people have, say, their father, mother, or uncle die, and they go to a medium, and then the person will tell them all about that person. It's the demon. There's no such... When people die, they go straight either heaven or hell. There's no in-between hanging around, no there to talk to you and tell you. They go. They're gone. You know? And so if you're talking to Uncle Joe or whatever after he's gone, you're not talking to Uncle Joe. You're talking to someone who's mimicking him because he knows all about him. And that's what calls people to get into bondage, see? And so the Hebrew word contains three letters. First is an ox head, meaning strength or power or leadership or headship. The second letter is a hook, and the hook means to connect or join. And the third is a picture of a family. So the Hebrew language, it's a strong leader or person having dominion or authority who has a hook or connection into a family. That's a familiar spirit. So the language, the original language, describes exactly what these things are. That's why when you look at the way Hebrew structures are put or words are put, they tell you the story through the words, pictures. So a familiar spirit is a strong spirit that gains access to control a family line by getting a hook or an attachment into it. And that hook or attachment is because people have done things that gave room for the spirit to get there. Right? So it's a strong spirit connected or hooked into a bloodline. Okay, and so what they do is they watch people, they observe people, they look at their habits and their weaknesses, and they communicate. They communicate with people. So if you have visitations at night, that'll be a familiar spirit. If you have spirits wake you up with tormenting dreams, that's a familiar spirit. If you wake up and you're something like feels like hands are around you and you're choking, that's a familiar spirit. If you're having trouble with spirits molesting you at night, which is more common than you'd realize, that is a familiar spirit. So familiar spirits, they project out paranormal experiences, eh? and they frighten people. And they work with other demons to bring people into bondage. They impersonate dead relatives because they know them. If I watched you all day, 24 hours, I'd know all about you. And just communicate with someone else, tell them your story. And so they act as a counterfeit spirit guide. So sometimes you'll hear the term spirit guide. Spirit guide's a demon. And so the movies, the television programs, they're all full of witchcraft and spiritism now. And they put it in a nice language, but it's still the old same stuff. It's the devil in disguise trying to look like he's helping you and he's bringing you into bondage. Get the idea? Okay, and so they may molest people and whatever. So when there's the familiar spirits in the family, there's some real big problems in the family line. And they torment people. They wake people up with these dreams at night. They hinder relationships. And sometimes they will almost like they become a spirit spouse. They actually hold the person in bondage in an intimate relationship, sexual relationship, and they can't connect or build a healthy marriage because there's someone else in there. And so I've had to pray. I prayed for pastors' wives that had these spirits. I prayed for all kinds of people. These are very much more common than we realize, but mostly people won't talk about it because it's a shame or it's dark or no one will believe them. And so the question is then, how do they get in and then how do you get them out? It helps if you know how they get in. I won't give you everything, but basically the core ways that these spirits attach to a person or a family is through occult activity. And so if you're involved in any form of fortune telling, astrology will lead to that. Ouija boards, calling up spirits, seances, calling up the dead, and consulting mediums, all of that will immediately open a door for a familiar spirit. Here's the thing. Once one gets access to you, it has the right to your descendants. Legally. And so that's why I asked the age of the girl, 7 years old, that's when the demon started manifesting. Sometimes people will have a close relative die and they'll see them a few days later. You're not seeing that person, you're seeing their familiar spirit. It's wanting another host and it's like a parasite. So sometimes they come because there's a generational line. Many of the problems people have, it's the family have done stuff. You don't know anything about it because they keep it all secret, but you're getting the fruit of it in your life. You're struggling with torments. You're struggling with sexual perversion. You're struggling with mental thoughts. You're struggling with fears and anxieties. You don't realize this did not start with you. This was in your family. You were chosen by God to bring an end to it. You want to bring an end to it, see? If your family has been involved in Freemasonry, you'll have these troubles. If your family's been involved in any forms of witchcraft or spiritism or calling up the dead, those kind of things, then you'll find that this is given access to the family line. It's a very real problem. And many of the things that are happening are extremely dark. I won't talk to you about that on the pulpit. I share those kind of things privately. But I've had to work with people, and it's extraordinary what they've been exposed to. And this is going on a massive scale. This is what a lot of the child trafficking is about. It's about engagement with occult powers. So we need to realize this is still a very major issue in the world today. And so another way that people get a familiar spirit is through deep grief that they never resolve. Grief, when you grieve, when someone who's close to you, you lose them, then the grief is the pain. Initially, it's the pain of the loss. But grief is a process of letting go, processing the pain, processing the loss, letting go the feelings related to it until you come to accept the change and you move forward. And it can be a year, 2 years or whatever. But when people have lost someone near to them, they often turn to a medium. Can we talk to uncle? Can we talk to dad? Can we talk to my boyfriend? And they go there looking for hope to keep the relationship alive. You understand? They're in shock. And so so sometimes people talk to people that are dead. Another way that I have found is people have been locked into familiar spirits is through tattoos. Okay, let me just talk. I won't go into too much on it, but the problem, biggest problem with tattoos is the poison and the ink. However, frequently I've discovered that people get a tattoo because there was someone they loved and they lost them. And what they don't realize is the tattoo is not the reminder of the person, it's the reminder of their loss. And it locks you into a spirit of grief. And frequently, the people have had a tattoo, they're locked into a spirit of grief. And then also frequently, the tattoos they get are demonic symbols, and that immediately then opens them up. The origin of tattoos, Very simple. It was a sign of slavery. Yeah, just saying it. And I'm not judging or condemning anyone. It's just we don't always understand the things that are in the culture, things that are acceptable in the culture. You know, what is God saying about that? And I want to live a life and honor Him in my body and spirit. You can live that way. So false religions can open you up, familiar spirits. Oh, here's another one I think is going to be a big problem, and that's AI chatbots. And, come on, I'm just telling you, and I'll tell you why in a moment, and then fantasy role-playing games. Hello? Hello, yeah, you see, I remember being in can I tell another story? We've got a little bit of time. I know I've got a bit of time, but you all want to hear this. This is a really good one. I was in a Bible school, so we've got hundreds. We've got about 800 students, massive. They've all given up a year of their life to follow Jesus, commit to Jesus, pay a price, learn the Bible. Okay, I get a word of knowledge that there's someone there addicted to a fantasy game, a role-playing game, which involves sorcery. And this guy comes forward, puts his hand up, comes forward. I said, can you tell me the name of the game? And he said, yes, it's called World of Warcraft. I said, oh, and I heard that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought, hello. The Lord said, show me, there's more. And I said, so you're playing, so just get this right. In your imagination online, you're playing and you're fantasizing about being a sorcerer who attacks others and casts spells on them and gets their power. Then you grow stronger and then you go forward. I said, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what we're doing. I said, well, the Bible says, it's concerning sexual sin, if you fantasize or look on a woman with your imagination, visualizing evil, and then you draw and you're joined by lust to it. If you see this thing or imagine the look on a woman with lust in your heart, you commit adultery. So the sin is conceived in the heart, then manifests in the life. But it's the imagination and desire. So you're engaging in a world of imagining sorcery and you're locking your desire into it. You've opened the door to a spirit. And he said, that's why you're addicted. It's a spirit driving you. And it's also the reprogramming of your neural system and the dopamine hit you're getting. But I said, would you renounce the game and the identity? He said, I will. Okay, I will. So I led him in a prayer. And the moment I led him in a prayer to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, something was happening. And so I said, come on, we can do this. We can do this. I got him through that. I said, now I renounce that World of Warcraft game and my role in it. Immediately, the demon come up on his face. Now, they had one of these big screens, and the camera guy had just put it on his face while he's playing. And everyone goes, oh! The demon came out of him, and then I had an altar call, and there were 200 students came forward. They're all in secret practicing divination. Man, oh man. I said, wow, you're here. You got a whole year at Bible school to learn about Jesus, and privately, you're following demons. Man, oh man. No wonder there's no power in your life. No wonder you got troubles. Anyway, so fantasy games, not initially, but over time as you give yourself to it, will open the door. Pornography, of course, where you get the demon straight away pretty well. And I've had lots of cases I prayed for. One look, it was all on. They got the demons. And so you understand. Now, the chatbots, here's the problem there. Now, I'm all into technology. I love it all. I do search and stuff on it. However, I've realized they lie. They lie to you. They're programmed to become a friend to you and to feed back to you in a way that you feel a friendship with what? Okay, now here's where the problem begins to get dark. In some of the programs today, you can actually design a companion and then set the settings to the level of intimacy or communication you want. Now you understand where that's going to lead to bad stuff. And then you've got programs where you can create videos. So I understand not just you would find something someone else created, you can create your own fantasies and be online. This is going to be a bad path. And already I've read reports of people committing suicide. Their companion online led them to consider the best way to get out of this world was suicide. You understand? That is demonic. It's not that the thing's just an electronic machine with a program, but what's happening is it opens the way through emotional dependency for you to connect with demons. That's why. And then you have familiar spirits with you. Eek. Okay, we're better. I'll give you one more story. Can't get tell you one more. You'll like this one. You'll like this one too. This is a good one. This is a really good. They're all good, really. I love them all. I get so excited. And so I had a lady ring me up and she said, Pastor, could you come and pray? Our house is haunted. I said, a haunted house? How awesome, I'll come. So, well, the thing is, we've got the authority that the house is clean. Oh, why would you be so scared of it all when you got the authority to deal with it? You're the only ones who can. I mean, how else are you going to get rid of a demon out of a house? They need a believer who knows the power of God. Come on. And you've got people who've got demons. They need someone who knows the power of God. We've got to not be hiding about this stuff. So I went to this. Now I'm thinking of a Walt Disney, big mansion thing with, nothing like that. It was just a two-bedroom apartment, and there's a woman and her boyfriend, and that she's the one who called me, and there's her daughter and boyfriend. Everyone is in a state of panic. And so I come in and they say, oh, Pastor, can you help us? I say, I can help you. And they said, and I said, what's going on? They said, we have these doors bang and there's no one there. And cupboards bang and lights going off, no one there. I said, oh, how interesting. And they said, can you help us? I said, yeah, I need to just ask a few questions and find out how it got here. So it was either here before you came or someone brought it with them. So let's ask the question, how long has this been happening? Oh, 2 weeks. Okay, so more than 2 weeks, nothing. That's right. See, what happened 2 weeks ago? Oh, my daughter came to live with us with her boyfriend. Oh. You don't have to be that smart to figure out a lot of this stuff. So I said to the girl and her boyfriend, I said, now, did you have a problem like this before you came here? They said, yes, that's why we came here. I said, you brought it with you. And the mum is shocked. She hadn't figured that the demon came the same time the daughter and the boyfriend came. So I said, well, this is an occult level demon. One or other of you is involved. Who? And they said, no, and they denied it completely. I said, okay, it still doesn't change what I'm saying. Yeah. denial doesn't mean that I got it wrong. I just said, which of you slept with someone involved in the occult? And the girl said, I did. I said, and it ended badly? Yep. And he said, and he cursed you? Yep. I said, that's where the demons come from. And so then we were able to pray and get the house free and get them free. Lead them all to Jesus, get the house free. Okay. So there we are. We just need to finish now. How to get free. This is what I did. Jesus is the one who sets you free. We have to come to him with a repentant heart. Because repentance, we turn away from things we thought would give life, which brought death, and we turn to him in faith. He came to set us free. He said, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life. So we turn to him. We repent, confess our sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, which breaks the legal rights. See, if someone has got us into this bondage, we should forgive them because unforgiveness keeps us locked into that. And then thirdly, if we've invited the spirits in or made any form of engagement with them, we need to renounce and cancel what we said or what we agreed to. And if you went to the fortune teller, renounce all the words spoken over you, because those words spoken over you, which you received, now empower demons to come. But they don't come to bless you, they come to wreck your life. It just opens the door to them, that's all. So we need to be free.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.